The Coast Guard icebreaker Healy is zigzagging across the northern Bering Sea this month, carrying a team of scientists working to gauge the effects of climate change. They're looking at how warming could be affecting the rich seafloor and changing the entire ocean ecosystem. Alaska Public Radio Network's Annie Feit is on the ship and has this report.
More than 30 scientists are on board the Healy, working in shifts around the clock, gathering water, mud, and animal samples. So far, they've collected material from more than 80 carefully chosen sampling stations. When the Healy approaches a station, the ship's driver turns the engines off and drifts into position. Then a giant mechanical arm lowers a frame holding 12 upright black tubes, a contraption called a CTD, into the ocean.
Take it down 5 more meters.
Each tube collects water from a different depth, a process that's controlled from a computer-filled room several stories above the waterline.
But it should be breaking the surface right about now, or at least near the surface.
When the CTD is retrieved, scientists launch other collection devices off the back of the ship. A giant scoop is lowered repeatedly to take bites of the seafloor. The researchers use a square wooden box with a screen on the bottom to filter out the gray mud and get a look at what's left behind. At this station, there isn't much.
Rocks, rocks, and more rocks. Rocks, rocks.
Well, there's sea oceans.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, look, that clam. He's alive.
Yeah.
After more than 2 hours, the ship starts moving again, but the collection work isn't finished. A team lowers a trawl net to the surface of the seafloor to catch crabs, fish, sea stars, and other treasures. It follows behind the ship for 10 minutes, and when it's pulled aboard again, it can bring a rich collection of organisms or disappointment. On this afternoon, it was the latter.
Well, I got some. I got a few sea stars in there anyway. Got half a sea star over here. Either that or it's a new rare two-legged species.
But a few days earlier, University of Wyoming PhD student Jason Colts had to recruit a team of sorters to go through the huge catch. The scientists bravely dug into the bottom of the bucket, glove-free. Colts described the colorful mixture.
It looks like some sort of demented Italian dinner with huge amounts of stringy bryozoans intermingled with huge numbers of crab and a variety of kind of slimy, soft creatures as well intermingled.
Jim Lovern is a zoologist from the University of Wyoming who's overseeing the trawling work. He says pulling up the trawl net at stations north of St. Lawrence Island has been especially exciting.
In fact, the trawling that we are doing in this area north of the island, nobody's ever trawled here at all. We had no idea what we were going to find. So it's really been a pretty much a voyage of discovery from that perspective.
So far, the team has found more variability north of the island than they're used to seeing farther south. Each trawl net has revealed something completely different. Lovern says he didn't expect to see so many snow crabs.
There are many, many crabs in the Bering Sea. Most of them up in this area, the snow crabs are too small to be commercially marketable, at least in the past. That is changing, and that is why crab fishermen are moving farther north to catch them.
But why does it matter what's on the bottom of the Bering Sea? Lee Cooper is a research professor at the University of Tennessee.
You might say, well, who cares about the organisms that are on the bottom anyway? That's not very interesting. They're just a bunch of worms or brittle stars or crabs or whatever else that's on the bottom. But those are the things that sustain the big animals that you see on TV that everybody's interested in, the big seals, the walrus.
Cooper and his wife, Jackie Grebmeyer, have been doing sampling work in the Bering Sea for more than 20 years. In a paper published earlier this year, they showed the ecosystem in the northern Bering Sea is warming, allowing species like snow crab and pollock to move north. On this science cruise, Cooper and Grebmeyer are looking at whether those newcomers will start competing for food with walrus, gray whales, and sea ducks.
We're doing a lot more trawling and trying to pull up organisms that are near the bottom. That's fish and crabs and other predatory invertebrates. There are big snails down there, too, that are eating some of the clams and other organisms on the bottom. We're trying to figure out what they're eating to see if they're eating copepods in the case of Arctic cod, and they're eating little bits of crab in the case of some of the flatfish or the bottom fish that are down on the bottom.
At the same time, walrus and other big mammals could have more competition for food. The retreat of sea ice may be limiting the amount of food the system can produce. More than half of the plant growth in the Bering Sea happens when the ice melts each spring. Zoologist Jim Lovern describes it this way.
It's a garden of algae in going crazy because of the conditions that are set up by the melting of the ice.
But with less and less melting each spring, there's also less plant growth to fuel that rich environment. So as more predators move into the northern Bering Sea, there may be fewer resources to sustain them. On the icebreaker Healy, I'm Annie Feit.